Good morning. You ready, New Life? Hey, I am. My name is Rick Keith. I'm one of the pastors here. I just was speaking to some new friends. Found out. Did the math. I've been here 35 years.
All right.
Thank you. Hey, we are. We have three people getting baptized today. Isn't that awesome? Exciting. That we know. There may be more. Who knows? Okay. But this is. This is the last week of our series on pictures of renewal, right? So God is so much bigger than we are. His mind is so much more vast than ours. His power is so much greater. And yet, in his love and compassion, he wants us to know him. And so he has given us the scriptures that contain his words. And it also contains images and things that hopefully will draw us in to understanding who he is and what is true and good and right. And so we are in this series on pictures of renewal, and we've talked about fire. Joel was up here, almost burned the place down. We've talked about blood. Nick did not bring any, but it was a good sermon, right? And so it's Baptism Sunday. What are we talking about this morning?
Water.
I can think of no greater picture of renewal than the waters of baptism, right? No, so we should do this. Pray. Father, we're not just here to buy our time. We are here as your people. We present ourselves to you. You have redeemed us. You know us. You love us. And so we stand before you today to worship. Would you open our hearts to hear, our ears to hear, our hearts to believe greater. Teach us this morning through the worship and music, your scriptures, and the testimonies of those you have redeemed. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we got to cover some ground. So when you're thinking about water, you go all the way back to the beginning, to Genesis chapter 1. Water is there. Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So it's the very beginning of the Bible, and we see water there. And it might have looked something like this. I don't know. Probably not. But, you know, we got to imagine it. It was dark. There was no form. And yet God spoke, and through his word, he called out light and land. And he created vegetation and animals and birds. And as a crowning creation, he created humanity. And he called them to continue to create and to continue to build and form. Isn't that a beautiful picture? But water. So what is water? Water is a picture of chaos. It's a picture of chaos. Now we're going to fast forward to chapter 6 in Genesis, where we see water as another main a player in the redemptive story of God. Just a few chapters. Genesis chapter 6. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I'm surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood. I'm going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens, every creature that has breath of life in it. Everything on earth will perish. Water is chaos. And the Lord, in this moment, brought chaos back. He caused the deep to rise again and to cover over that which he had created and that which he had formed. And for what purpose? For what reason was it? It was because wickedness had grown so great that the scripture says that the heart the heart of humanity was always wicked all the time. Now, I think we can imagine that, but I don't know if we've ever experienced that. It was bad. And so God was to undo his own creation. Now, I want to take a step back in this passage. There's things in here we can learn, right? We can see some things that God wants to speak about. First thing you see is that sin left unchecked corrupts everything, right? Sin left unchecked corrupts everything. We as humanity at this time have devolved. At one point, we were the stewards of God's creation, and now at this point in history, we became the embodiment of corruption, right? We had devolved. Sin, unchecked, is a destructive force. And yet we look at God, too. What does he respond to that? Sometimes we can picture God certain ways, but you do not see God as a distant, angry God in this passage. What do you see? He's not distant and cold. What does it say about him? It says he was deeply troubled. His heart was deeply troubled. In other places, it says that he was grieved to the heart. So God's not distant. God cares deeply and is impacted and is hurt by the violence and the corruption and the sin that had generated through his creation. What we also see in this is God's patience, his patient endurance. So he waited. I picture God waiting and seeing and having to look at the fall of what he had created and the people and just seeing the growth of sin. And he probably waited, hoping that it would turn, although he knew it wouldn't. But then it became time he had to act. And so you see God's patient endurance in this. But you also see in God, you see his holiness and his justice, right? His holiness and his justice. He had to deal with sin, corruption, and evil. He could not let it go unchecked. And so he called forth the deep again, chaos, to come and cover over the earth. Yet his eye turned to Noah, right? His eye turned to Noah, a man who walked in God's ways, though all around him was wickedness. He walked in God's ways. And God provided a way through the chaos for Noah, right? He provided a way through the chaos. He said, build a boat, a really big one, right? So he did, and Noah went through the chaos and found life on the other side. Water means chaos. It indicates chaos. And yet Jesus said in the Gospel of John a couple times, says, if you believe in me, if you trust in me, streams of living water will flow from within you. And I do not think he means that streams of chaos will flow from within you, right? So is it chaos or is it life? Let's fast forward into the Exodus. So where we come to Exodus 14 is where water plays another starring role. So you have Moses bringing the people out, and they are escaping, and they get caught between the oppressing army and the Red Sea, or Sea of Reeds, and they're stuck. There they are. Moses had led them, and this is what they say. They said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us up to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us up out of Egypt? What a chaotic situation, right? We moved out, but here we are, we're stuck. We're going to either drown or be killed. Did you bring us out here to die? And Moses answered the people, do not be afraid, stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring today. And then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. hope you can picture yourself there. Could you imagine walking through on dry ground? The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. And once they were across, the waters fell over the pursuing army and wiped them out. Water is chaos. It's destructive. But it did bring safety to his people. But the path that they had to walk was through it, right? Through the chaos. Israel found new life. They found new life. And it was like Noah. He had to get in a boat and was tossed through the chaos. They walked through the water, through it, through the chaos to find life. And I find, is water chaos or is it life? Is it both? It's both, right? And I don't think there's any greater symbol of it being both, with chaos and life, than the baptismal pool here, because chaos and life flow from this place, what it symbolizes, right? It flows from what this symbolizes. Romans 6 says this, "Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." Chaos, destruction, and life, right? Jesus went through chaos. He left heaven, came to earth, right? Only to find himself on a sinner's cross where he was killed. And at that time, the deluge of God's wrath poured out on him, all of it. He did not escape it. He got it all. And then through his death, he rose again so that streams of living water might flow to you and me, to all who believe. We get living water, eternal life. So you have chaos coming together, but then life bursting forth as a result. And so baptism is just a symbol of that, that we go down into the water, we go into the chaos, right? And then we're pulled up out of it into new life. This is a beautiful picture of the gospel. This picture is for all of us here, right? It's for all of us. For those who don't know Jesus, who have not placed their faith in him, it's a call to believe. It's a call to believe. We know from the days of Noah that when God decides to act, he will act and there will be no sin. There will be no rebellion that escapes. And yet God provided an ark. And for us, that ark is Jesus, the righteousness of Jesus that comes when we place our faith in him. We go through the chaos to new life. Amen? It's a beautiful picture of coming together. There's also a message, a symbol in this for us as well, who believe. We're to swim deeper into the baptismal waters, deeper in understanding this picture of chaos and life coming from it. Right? Sometimes things need to die so that life is born. Sometimes God starts over so that new life comes. And he does that for us. When we believe, he kills our sin nature so that our spiritual life will rise again. And for those who believe, we're to live that out more and more. Romans 6 says this, "In the same way, count yourself dead to sin, but alive to Christ Jesus." So as we live out our life, there's this picture of we're dead to sin. We were buried. We were drowned. And now we live. We are raised again. And so when we are walking through life and we are confronted by the chaos of sin and death and craziness, we're to consider ourselves dead to sin, but alive to God. I have rarely been transformed by avoiding something. And you do need to avoid sin, so I am dead to sin. But not just dead to sin, alive to God in Christ. So when we experience the chaos and the destruction around us or the things in our life, we need to remember, I'm alive to God. And we walk, like the Israelites, through the chaos, though it may be all around us. We walk by faith. This is our call as followers to life on the other side. This fall was a little nuts for Carol and myself. We found ourselves in a situation. So, not to go into all of it, but Carol had a procedure she had to go in August, and then about a week before, we were about ready to go, and she found out she lost her job. So, we sat there in this moment, feeling like we were drowning a bit. There was something we needed. And then we were looking at the future, and we're going, I'm not sure how this is going. So we were drowning. And it's in that moment, spending time there, that I began to pray, Lord, just deliver us. Get us out of that situation. That's a great prayer, isn't it? Deliver me. Get me out of here. And you see it all in Scripture. But I was confronted with this idea. Maybe the better prayer is, Lord, what life do you have for me now? What are you killing? And what are you bringing to life in this chaos? And I felt like the Lord was saying, I need to kill this idea that you are putting your trust in what you see and your plans. And I want to bring to life that you need to be assured of the things you hope for and certain of the things you do not see. And that is faith, right? So that was my picture. So we're going to hear from others. Right? We're going to hear from others. They're going to come up and they're going to share their story of what God did. But as they do that, I want you to just think about what life is God wanting to bring about through the chaos around you? What life does he want to bring about through the chaos that he has brought to you? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your grace. We thank you that there is no sin, there is no brokenness, there is nothing that cannot be washed away or drowned out by your grace. It is unending. And so we just, we pray we would live this out. Now, Lord, we glorify you. We praise you for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.